We're in this new series called What I Really Want to Know. What do you really want to know? We're going to be talking about some different subjects, I think, that are discussed among those of us who are followers of Christ and maybe those who aren't, the same questions that we have. And I'll go ahead and tell you, we've kind of left a little wiggle room. And so if you've got something you go, I really want to know, if you'll send me an email, we may be able to get that in to one of the sermons here in the coming weeks. I love the story that Reggie Joyner, who is a guy in Atlanta area that counsels churches and works with churches. He tells a story about his son, who was a freshman in high school, and he was taking a literature test that was going to count about 25% of the final grade, and it was on Shakespearean theory. And you know how entertaining that is. And so they were in one of these all-night study sessions, and his son was having a difficult time, just like a lot of us do when we're going through Shakespearean theory. And so he's going through that, and he's going, I just don't really know why I need to know this. You ever thought about that when you're studying that? Why do I really need to know this? So he's telling his son, you need to know this because this is part of the education process. What you're doing is you're learning how to learn and all the things that we tell our children when we go through these things. And so they're going through, he says, hours into this study session, he says, I'm just pelting him with questions. He looks at me and says, you know what I really need to know? He goes, what? He says, what I really need to know is how to dance. Homecoming is in 3 weeks, and I think it's important that I know how to dance. I think a lot of times we go through life and we come to a place just like this, and we're talking about Shakespearean theory things as they relate to your life. And deep down, you wouldn't say it out loud because you got to act like you're interested. You go, what I really want to know, what I need to know is how to dance. So let me ask you, what is it that you need to know? What is it that you really want to know? And all the things that are being discussed around you sound like Shakespearean theory, and you go, what I really need to know is this. One of the things that I hear on a regular basis is this, and it's going to be kind of our topic for today, is people want to know, they need to know, or they want to know, hey, what is God's will for my life? If I asked you to write down on a piece of paper today, what is God's will for your life, what would you write down? You're going, I hope you don't do that, right? I think when you ask that question, you have to understand God's will in general about how God operates. First of all, there are different facets to his will. First of all, there is the will of God that I call the absolute will of God. These are things that are going to happen with or without you and with or without me, whether you're praying about it or not praying about it. Matter of fact, you don't need to pray about it because it's going to happen anyway. It's not dependent upon us. Matter of fact, we read in passages like Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, it says, when the time that had been set fully came, God sent his son Jesus to be born of a woman. Do you realize he said, listen, this was part of my plan. Now, you ain't got to pray. Nobody needed to pray about it during that day. It was part of his plan. If you read on the other end in Revelation 20, he says, one day we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and everybody who's not found in the book of life will be thrown into hell. You don't need to pray about that and go, God, hope one day. No, it's going to happen. It doesn't matter how faithful you are, how obedient you are, those things are going to take place. They are part of his absolute will. Now, he involves people in that. When you read in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, it says, when the time had fully come, or the time that had been set had fully come, he sent his son to be born of a woman. It wasn't dependent upon Mary. Not if the angel shows up to Mary and Mary goes, I'm really not into that. And God goes, well, there's my whole plan just shot right there. No, it was going to happen regardless. Like in the Old Testament, when he went to Abram, he says, Abram, I'm about to start a nation. They're going to be my people, but I need you to move from here to there, and out of your family, this nation is going to be born. They're going to be my people. I'm going to be their God. If Abram said, no, I'm not into that. I don't know how it would have worked out. Maybe it would have worked out with Bill down the street. I don't know. But I'm just telling you, those things are going to happen. They are absolute. They are not dependent upon us. That is the absolute will of God. And so it's important for us to say, this is how God has acted in the past. This is what he's up to now. This is what he tells us in his word is going to happen in the future. And so to be aware of that. Now, the second part of God's will is his moral will. These are things that are kind of the do's and don'ts. Hey, don't do this. Do this. Don't do this. You don't have to pray to go, hey, is it okay if I lie today? No. He said, don't worry. Don't lie. Don't covet. Don't be envious. Don't be jealous. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It says in verse 3, it is God's will that you be sanctified, that you avoid sexual immorality. And so when that boyfriend of yours asks you to move in with him and go, hey, let's just practice for a while, you go, well, let me pray about it. You don't have to pray about it, right? It's just part of God's will. It is for you. It is for everyone. The moral absolutes. And so you have the absolute will of God. You have the moral will of God. But here's what we really want to know. I want to know about the personal will of God. What is it that he has for my life? What is his plan? Who do I, you know, do I marry her? Do I marry her or not? Do I move here? Do I take that job? Do we go there? Do I buy this? Do I don't buy that? Those are the things that we really have the million-dollar questions for. And what you need to understand, the more you understand the absolute will of God, and the more that you're obedient to the moral will of God, you're in a position to understand the personal will of God. Here's the problem. We're over here going, God, I want to know about what you want me to do about this. And God's going, yeah, but you're not even following what I've already said. It's foolish today for you to pray about the personal will of God for your life when you're knowingly not following the moral will of God. If you're here and you're oblivious to his absolute will, God, and of his will and how he's operated in the past and what he's up to now and according to Scripture and what he's going to do one day, you're not in a position to understand it. So if today it's the mystery of God's will, that's one of the reasons why. I love books. And there's one laying on my desk right now that says the mystery of God's will, like he's hiding it from us. He's our Heavenly Father. I don't hide anything that's good for my kids. Going, I've got something good for you, but I'm not going to tell you. Really? That's our view of God? You think that's how he worked with his plan for your life, his will for your life? I love you. I sent my son to die on the cross for you. That kind of settled everything about how he feels about us. But I'm not going to tell you my will for your life. I'm going to hide it, and we're going to play a big game for the next decade as you screw your life up. No. I've got this. I've got an absolute. I've got a more. And I have a personal will of God. But understand this one, follow and be obedient to this one, and you're in a position to understand my will for your individual life. Now, one of the things is this, is before we go too far, one of the things you need to ask yourself is why do you want to know God's will? And before you answer that, be careful, he already knows why you want to know. Have you ever asked yourself the question, why do I really want to know God's will for my life? Why? Why would you want to know that? Because for some of us, he goes like, well, I would love to know what he wants because I'd like to have his insight on this situation for my consideration. Is that not honest, right? Don't many times we want to hear from him going, I'd like to get your input, kind of like I got Uncle Bill's input. I'd like to get your input, and if it sounds good and it looks like it's going to work out for best of me, I may go with it. But God is not revealing his will for consideration. He reveals his will for direction and obedience. And so one of the things you have to ask yourself is, why do I want to know this? Why do I really want to? Deep down, are you going, I'd really like for him just to affirm what I'm already doing. You ever talk to anybody and you wanted their advice and you're going, I'm going to ask enough people until I find the person who says, I'm for you, I'm with you, I understand how you're functioning in life. And sometimes we talk to God going, God, what do you think I ought to do about this? I'm doing this. You think this is a good idea? You ever been there? And so sometimes you got to start with God's will by just reprogramming the way you think. There's a passage in Romans 12. Look at the screen. I want us to read together. Romans chapter 12. It says, therefore, he's talking about God's will. I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. In other words, you don't start with, hey, I want you to tell me something. I might consider it. I might do it. You start with, God, my life is yours. A living sacrifice is when you crawl up on the altar, you're still alive. My life is yours. And so when you have that mentality, then he says this. So then do not conform to the pattern of this world. What's the pattern of this world? I'd love to get your input on this, God, for my consideration. Do not follow the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the remodeling of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So I ask you the question, why do you want to know his will? Have you ever thought about it? Another thing is this, is not only do you have to ask yourself this question, but on top of that, before you ever get to his will for your life, you have to realize who you're talking to. And we could talk about he's the creator of God. He's the God who called the sun up in the morning. He's going to call the stars out by name, and not one of them is going to be missing tonight, according to the prophet Isaiah. He's the one who created everything you see, and everything revolves around him. We could talk about that. So he knows his plan for your life. But here's what I want you to understand. When you talk to God today about his will for your life, understand you're talking to your heavenly Father. When Jesus was walking around on this planet, and his followers said, Jesus, teach us how to pray. You remember what he said in Matthew chapter 6? He says, our what? Y'all hadn't read it? Our what? Dad. I got two kids. And they may not want my advice. But if I know something that is good for their life, you can be certain I'm not going to withhold that information. They may not accept it. They may not take it. But I would never go, you know what? I know what's best for you, and I can see down the road what you need to do in your life, but I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to play games with you. You'd say, well, you're a messed up father. Well, why do you think your heavenly Father functions that way? It's like he's hiding it behind, let's make a deal. Is it curtain one? Is it curtain two or curtain three? Do I get the new kitty cat or the new car? No, that's not the way he functions. He's your heavenly Father. He wants what's best for you. And so when you're thinking about his will and you know what's in your heart, are you just really wanting to know it for consideration, or am I needing it for direction and obedience? Because if you recognize he's your heavenly Father, you go, I'm already past the consideration. I just want to know what Dad wants me to do. I love how Max Lucado put it, and I wrote it down just to read it to you today. Kind of gives us an idea of God. In his book called God Thinks You're Wonderful, listen to what he writes. Listen to this. He says, if God had a calendar, your birthday would be circled. If he drove a car, your name would be on his bumper. If there's a tree in heaven, he's carved your name in the bark. You have captured the heart of God. He cannot bear to live without you. God's dream is to make you right with him. And the path to the cross tells us exactly how far God will go to call us back. So as you think about why you want to know the will of God, realize who you're talking to. Realize who you're seeking out. You're seeking out your heavenly Father. And so with all of that in mind, I still really need to know. I really want to know what God's will for my life is. Well, in Proverbs chapter 3, we kind of get a kind of an outline of maybe how to address that this morning. In Proverbs chapter 3, in verses 5 and 6, look at that last part of that verse. Verse 6, he says, and he will make your paths straight. Isn't that really what we want? And the word paths means lifestyle, and the word straight means blessed. I think most people want to get to a point in their life that I'm living a life that as God sees it is successful, that he is blessed. You know where that is? In his will. Carrying out his plan for your life. Now, how do you do that? Back up to the top. He says, first of all, you trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. So look at that first phrase. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. In other words, this is our way of saying, God, I trust you with, and I don't even know what you say about that. That's a mindset, isn't it? God, I trust you with what you're going to tell me about my marriage, about my morality, about my time, my money, my kids, my work, whether I move there, not move there, take that job, don't take that job. God, I trust you in advance, and I don't even know what you're going to say. That's a mindset. And that's something we need to really think about, because our stories, and we love stories, right? Everybody's got a story. Most of our stories have a chapter or a couple of chapters, would be entitled "If Only." You ever had any of those? If only I hadn't made that decision. If only I had not moved there. If only I had not taken that job. If only I had not gotten involved with him. If only, you know? What you never see in people's stories is this. If only I had not trusted God. You ever hear that much? You ever hear people go, let me tell you my life story, man. We love stories. We love to video people's stories. We never hear people go, I'm going to tell you what, man. We were trucking right along. I was on track, and then I decided I was going to trust God with all my heart. Whew. Psycho. It went nuts. And everything went down the chute. You don't hear that. What we have is the if only. If I could do it again, I'd trust him. If only I wouldn't take it as for just consideration, I would be obedient. It starts with a belief that goes, God, I just believe you know what is best. And so when the writer of Proverbs says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, that's what he's saying. Then he goes on from there and he says, and lean not on your own understanding. You know what the word lean means? It means to prop up something. To prop up. He says, in other words, don't prop up your life with the way you see things. Don't prop up your life with your understanding. Don't prop up your life with your knowledge. I asked Siri. I don't ever ask Siri anything. Y'all talk to Siri? That's odd. But anyway, so I'm in my office trying to talk to Siri because I knew we were going to have this series, and I knew they were going to be talking to Siri on this bumper. And so I'm talking to Siri in my office, and while I'm talking to Siri, I thought, I bet you the other staff people think I'm nuts. Who is he talking to in there? And so I asked Siri, I asked her this question. Siri, what is God's will? You ever asked her that? You know what she said? You know what she said? She said, it's your opinion that counts. Better be careful about asking her stuff. That's what she said. All of you, let me get my iPhone now. Let me try that right now. Siri, what is God's will? I'm not making that up. I don't know what she's going to tell you, but she told me and she knows me well. It's your opinion that counts. That's what she said. Isn't that what we think a lot of times? I've got all this life experience. I've got all this knowledge. I've done all this study. I've got all this insight. And what the writer of Proverbs is going is never make the mistake of thinking you need to prop your life up on what you know. Lean not. He says instead of that, he says in all your ways. In all your ways, he's just talking about all the arenas of life. You know what all means? All means good. There you go. Very good. We're making progress. But you just think about, you know what that means? You think about all the arenas of your life, all the areas of your life. He says, don't prop up your life with your understanding of your money or your time or your kids or your marriage or your morality or your work or your influence, your involvement, your work, your career, your decisions, your kids, your in-laws, the people you like, the people you don't like, how you treat that person, how you interact with this person. He says, in all those arenas of life, do not prop it up with the way you see it. Instead of that, he says, look at this, because he's getting to the end. Submit to him. Submit to him. It's our way of saying, God, I was taught, I thought, I planned, I heard, but what do you say? What do you say? Understand this, that submission comes before direction. You're sitting over here going, I just want to know what God's will is for my life. Expect to be in a fog. Until you get to the mindset of going, God, in all my ways, I submit to you. Yes, Lord. Now, what is the question? Submission comes before direction. You ever realize, I don't know if y'all thought about this, that we trust God. So there's a lot of everybody here go, I trust God. Nobody, most people would not stand going, I don't trust God with anything. You know what we trust him with? The things we can't control. We pray about the weather. We pray about our kids' safety. The kid just went over the hill with the car and they just went off to college, and what will you start doing? We got to pray. We pray about the things that are out of our control. But then when it comes to the things that we want to control, we kind of look at God and go, I got this. And all those arenas of life, all those areas of life, marriage, morality, time, influence, career, job, relationships, I got this. Because we can control a great deal of it. And that's where the problem is. He says, in all your ways. Let me just ask you this. Is there an area that you've blocked off from God? That you've got the mindset, God, you're God and I'm not, and you're my heavenly Father. I know what you want for me is best. And God, I want to hear from you for direction, not just for consideration, except in this one area. And we would never say that. But in reality, I don't want to hear from you in my morality. I don't want to hear with you from my money. I don't want to hear from you in my job. I don't want to hear from you from my influence. I don't want to hear from you in my family. I don't want to hear from you how I treat my wife. But God, I want to know what you want me to do. We would never say that. But if we're honest, it's not in all our ways. It's in some of our ways. And as long as that's true, you will always live in a fog over here in the personal will of God, and the chapters of your life will be covered up with if only. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him. And what will he do? He. Can you trust him? He. Is he trustworthy? He. You think he can do it? He will make your path straight. Where you are today, look around this room. This goes for everybody. You say, I don't believe in God. You ain't got to believe in God. Where you are today is directly related to the decisions you made in the past. And where you will be in the future is directly related to the decisions you make now. So now is the time to say, God, I trust you with all my heart in all my ways. I come to you not for consideration, but for direction. And I trust that you will direct my path.